Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Howdy, friends. Special little drop-in bonus episode. I got a wonderful surprise in my inbox. Two of my good buddies, Jesse and Adam. I've known Adam, coming on 3-4 years now. He and I first connected online and then got a chance to be hang out together at Nova. Adam's been on the show, a great guy, and really knows his stuff when it comes to Malifaux. And if you're familiar with Adam, you know that he's no short on opinions. And then my other good buddy, Jesse, both of these guys play together up in the Northeast. Jesse's been on the show before. He did the Ophelia deep dive. Jesse has been an asset in keeping that community alive up there. He also knows a lot about the game, especially when it comes to Bayou. So these two guys have decided they're going to do a podcast. They're calling it The Boring Conversation, and I got a special treat in my inbox. They sent me a preview of the first episode, which I've listened to, and I love more content. I love that more podcasts are popping up for Malifaux and other tabletop games, but you're going to want to watch out for this one. They tell me that it's going to be coming out here in the next couple days. So make sure you track it down. It's called The Boring Conversation, but we've got a nice little preview clip for you. We're going to dip into a conversation between Adam and Jesse, and they're talking about Ulix. And it'll give you an idea of really the depth of knowledge that you're going to get from this podcast. They do a great job of kind of interviewing each other, which is nice. It's just a clip. It's a great episode. Don't miss when Jesse starts asking Adam about what he's been playing, because they go just as in depth as Jesse does here. But anyway, enjoy.
I mean, I play primarily Bayou. I do have my toes dipped into a couple of other factions, but for the vast majority of my games lately, I've been sticking to Bayou, and I've actually been trying a lot of Ulix. He's definitely got some gaps. He's got a lot of weaknesses and a lot of hard counters, I've found. But I do think that there's something there, especially in certain pools or certain matchups. It's just, it's tough because there are some factions that I just can't declare him into. Neverborn being a great example, and he can have kind of a tough time with Rezzers too. There's just a lot of counters in those two factions. So I've been fiddling around with a couple of different builds or different styles of play for him. Aside from that, most of my other games lately have been Mon Ophelia. They're both probably my most played masters. Ophelia is my most played master by probably 10 games or more. And then I've played quite a lot of Ma lately too, but I've been trying some different crew builds with her as well, especially with some new models that have come out. I'm really looking forward to using test subjects. So, what about you, Adam?
Just a question. What do you think is the problem with Ulix? What do you think's holding him back?
Well, he's got a couple of issues. So his models, for anybody who's played Euripides, because he's probably a more common master to see on the table. I mean, he's got a new box. He was one of the new masters for 3E. As anybody who plays Euripides can attest, when you have a crew full of 50mm models, they tend to get in each other's way. And where Ulix doesn't have any teleports or anything like that, it doesn't have any way to gain incorporeal or move through his own models reliably, which Euripides has those things, and they can help alleviate some of the movement stress. Ulix really doesn't. So if you don't set your crew up correctly during deployment, or if you're not smart about your order of operations during your turn, you can really box yourself in, cost yourself a lot of AP trying to move around, or just straight up prevent yourself from getting things done. The other problem with Ulix I found is that he's very card hungry. His whole crew is loaded with TNs. I mean, you've got TN 6 and 7 minimum on a ton of his models, sometimes on multiple actions on the same model. And then he also has card pressure and needing to hold cards to discard for protected, to pitch card attacks on him off onto other pigs. And he has a front of card ability where you can pitch cards when a friendly pig within six is damaged to reduce the damage taken. And he doesn't really have a lot of inbuilt card draw in the crew. He's got two models with good for a laugh triggers on their attacks, meaning himself and Old Major. Old Major is not going to be reliably getting that trigger, and the attack that Ulix has with it is not one that you necessarily want to be taking very often. You want to be spending his AP for other things. So even if you take Bryn, you end up running out of hand, like, real quick. And suddenly you're trying to raw dog your TNs, or you don't have the cards you need to do things like sturdy critters on Ulix or nudge them on Old Major.
And his and his TNs aren't super low either. I mean, they're fairly moderate TNs, right? And there's a ton of them.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, so if you're trying to grow pigs with Ulix, to grow a pig one generation, meaning a piglet to a squealer or a squealer to a wild boar or wild boar to war pig, you need an 8, which is, like, not that hard to come by. You don't even need a suit for it unless you're trying for the trigger, which most of the time you really want the trigger to get a free obey attempt. A free attempt at an obey, let me put it that way, off on the model that you just grew. And if you're trying to grow a model two generations, you need a 12. So you figure, you know, let's just take a Ulix activation right at its face. So let me just pull up Ulix on my app here. Let's see here. So let's just take a Ulix activation. So, you know, let's say we want to do a grow up strong to grow a pig. Okay, well, I'm probably not going to grow something one generation unless I just don't have a 12 in my hand. So let's assume that I'm going for a two generation grow. I hired in a squealer and I want to grow it to a war pig. So I need to get a 12. Now, let's say we want the some pig trigger to get a herdum action, which is essentially an obey on the new model. So I need a tome for that. So let's say I need a 12 of tomes or a 12 with a stone. So I get that, and then I get to attempt a herdum. Herdum is an obey. Now I only need a 6 for that, and the suit's built in when I'm targeting a pig. So, okay, great. But that's another TN. So now I've gotten two TNs off one AP. Now I'm probably going to want to do a herdum on another model, most likely. So there's another 6 that I need. And then assuming there's no other enemies in range to do his whopping 8-inch range attack on, or to attack in melee or what have you, the only other action on his card is his bonus. So really, if there's no enemies in range for either his melee attack or his 8-inch ranged attack, the only things that he can take are grow up strong, which he's going to need an 8 or a 12 for, and he's going to need to take hurt him, which he's going to need a 6 for. So let's say out of his 3 AP, you do one grow up strong with the bonus or with the trigger for a hurt him, and then you do two more hurt hims. Now you're looking at 3 sixes and an 8 or a 12. So just on his own card, that's a lot of TNs.
Yeah, and you're going to be just flipping cards like crazy. You're going to inevitably be running into like one of those 1 through 5s, and then it's just you have to pitch another card from your hand.
Exactly. Yeah, now I got to flip. That. Now I got to pitch a 10 to get off my TN 6 or, you know, something stupid like that.
Yeah, he's not very stone intensive. He's card intensive,
Yeah. And then it gets worse because like his totem Penelope also has hurt him. She needs 7s for it.
And that's pretty much all she's doing.
Exactly. She doesn't really have that much else that she does. Now I take a Hog Whisperer. Hog Whisperer has hurt him, needs 7s. It has a summon, which needs a 5 of rams. Now he's a minion, so he can't stone for anything. He just has to have the ram. Let's say I take the sow. So she's the most reliable summoner in the crew. I'm still needing a six, and it needs to be a six of crows unless I got rid of a corpse or scheme marker within 2 inches of her. So again, there's more TNs. Like, it just goes on and on and on. There's more and more models in his crew that need TNs. So the only ways that I've found to really mitigate that are to hire in a lucky effigy to help, to give the 3-inch aura to cheat off the top of the deck. And that's really only reliable for like the first turn, maybe the second turn, because the Ulux crew is very fast and they end up outranging that aura very quickly. Or taxing in Big Brain Bryn so that I can get the extra hand size, and then I can do calculate the possibilities to kind of hopefully thin some weak cards out of the deck. But one of the issues with calculate the possibilities, and for anybody who doesn't know how that works, you need a 7 for it to go off. It's another TN. You can only do it once a turn. You discard the top 10 cards of your deck, choose up to 3 non-Joker cards, put them back in your deck, and then draw a card. So, I mean, it's great because you're drawing a card, you're thinning out the deck. But, I mean, the idea with that is normally that you're going to pull out, like, you know, hopefully 1 to 3 face cards, filter them back into the deck. But I found that because a lot of the cards that he needs, like the TNs that he needs, are only like 6s and 7s, sometimes what ends up happening is you end up filtering a lot of those cards out of the deck, because there's obviously so many of them. I mean, you might get a really bad calculate and you end up having to filter out like a bunch of like 7, 8, 9, 10s. Just to hopefully shuffle in 1 to 3 face cards, and you end up actually losing a lot of the cards that you need to hit the TN. So it helps, but it doesn't help as much as you'd think.
Yeah, I can see how having the lucky effigy would help, because essentially that's just going to be, it's going to be a positive flip to whatever you're trying to do.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's a positive flip if you need it. So there's always the chance that you won't, but if you do, and then you fail,
get it. Yeah.
But like a lot of those things, especially first and second turn, it's not super critical that you get the Hurtums off. It's going to help a lot, but it's not like going to be game breaking. So it's, you flip the card, you fail. All right, well, I'll try again. And if I still fail, then so be it. Whatever. I got 2 weak cards out. And now the next time that I try for a TN, it's, you know, 2 fewer weak cards that are going to fail. So it seems to be the most reliable way that I found to make them work.
Sounds good. Sounds like you're cracking it pretty well. You're cracking it pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah, I recently tried like a Ulix, what I call a Ulix bully list, which seemed to work a lot better.
See, I wasn't lying to you. Listening to these guys discuss Malifaux is going to make you a better player. So again, the name of the podcast is The Boring Conversation. Go ahead and like them on Facebook so you know when the first episode is released. My understanding, it's going to be here in the last week, Thanksgiving week. So anyway, thanks for sticking around, and we're not too far away from the 100th episode. Take care.